1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 to 12. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
There's one thing that I have never really been accused of. I've never really been accused of being a fashion icon. I nearly was this morning by Linda. I'm almost convinced that one of my daughter's first words were, "Dad, you can't wear that." And as a teenager, helpfully, she said, "Come on, Dad, let's go and have a look in your wardrobe together and see if I can help you." She rummaged around a bit, the face dropped, and she said, "Now I can see the problem." Threadbare sort of described both the quantity and quality of what she could see in my wardrobe. Now, it wasn't I didn't have enough money to go and buy a new smart set of clothes. And it wasn't that I lacked places to go and buy them. It was just that it wasn't a priority for me. I didn't have the motivation. And in the reading this morning, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, Peter gives us a crystal clear purpose or priority for our Christian lives. And he says this: our purpose is to declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. That's it. That's our priority, to declare the praises of God. Simple. Peter is writing probably from Rome, and Rome that was under the rule of Nero. Can you imagine what being a Christian was like in Rome under Nero? And Peter was writing to scattered Christians throughout the Roman world, mostly in what we would call Turkey. And one thing Peter, from his experience, knows is that when the going gets tough and when trials and persecutions come, it's easier to blend in than stand out. You'd only have to think back to the night of the crucifixion, when he stood there and denied Jesus three times, trying to blend in rather than stand out. But this is a different Peter that's writing this epistle. And he's writing it, and he says to the people, stand out. Let your lives declare the praises of God. Declaration is something clear. It's something unambiguous. It's shouted from the rooftops. It gets attention. It's a message. It speaks of something important. Declare the praises of him. Now, at this point, you're thinking the same as me, aren't you? This declaration stuff, that's not for me. That's for those with different gifts. Didn't you know that? We've all got different gifts. That's for the declaration gifts people. I'm all right, actually. I'm quite happy in this church. It's a nice place to be. Got good friends. I like the worship. All that declaring stuff, maybe for different gifts. That's where our heart is this morning. We haven't really fully grasped the gospel. And we haven't really understood what God is calling us to be and to do. God's challenge to each of us, whatever our gifting, is don't blend in, stand out. It's not about whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, and it's not about whether you're brave or timid. It's about whether you're full and overflowing with the Spirit of God. If you're not, you'll blend in. If you are, you'll stand out. You may be aware of the literature that LICC produces, and you may have come across the little dot diagrams that are up here on the slide. And these represent, there are 100 dots on each of those matrix, and each dot is supposed to represent the population of this country. And the red dots are those who this morning will be worshipping in church, 7 out of 100, 7%. Those people are doing much what we're doing. They're together. They're amongst friends. Maybe it's like being sheep in a sheep pen. There's a warmth, there's a security in being together. It's something we like doing. But the bottom matrix shows those little red dots are scattered out amongst all the other grey dots. Because tomorrow we won't be here together, we'll be where God has put us. We'll no longer benefit from the warmth and security and safety of the pen, because we'll be exposed to other people with different beliefs and different values. And here comes the question for us. When we, as those little Sunday worshippers on a Sunday in that corner together, nicely glowing red, are in the places where God puts us, do we glow red? Or do we get greyed down and we blend in? Peter is pleading with us not to blend in, but to stand out. And he gives us some things to do and some things not to do to help us with that quest. And the first thing that he asks us to do is to remember who we are in Christ. That's what verse 9 says. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. He's speaking to us. We've been chosen. We've been called personally, specifically, directly by God. We are God's choice. And these terms that he uses have echoes of the Old Testament, of God's promises to Israel, both at the time of the Exodus and the return from exile as well. A royal priesthood. Priests were those that had direct access to God. But now we, as the Lord's people, we are royal priests. We have direct access to the King of Kings. God's face is hidden from all mankind because of sin. But now in Christ, we have access to God. It's the priesthood of all believers. We're a holy nation. Peter is echoing that covenant promise that God gave in Exodus 19, that if we obey God, he will make us, even though the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And just as God chose one tribe out of Israel, out of the Israelites, the tribe of Levi, to be the cause of blessing to the others, so God has chosen us that we can bless that wider community. Sometimes we get that bit a bit wrong. Sometimes we think God has called us for our own benefit. Perhaps a bit like a divine lottery ticket. We've got one, so it's for us. But that's not why God has called us. He's called us so that we can bless others. So we have to say yes to remembering who Christ is and remembering the priority he's given us. But what is it he's calling us to do? And if you want to take away one word, I'd say he's calling us to shine. The word shine is used quite often in terms of describing how we are to live. You remember in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15, Paul says, "Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault, in a warped and crooked generation in which you shine like stars in the universe, as you hold out the word of life, shining like stars in the universe, shining in a dark environment. That's what we're called to do. But to shine, a light needs energy. An electric lamp doesn't shine if you don't plug it in and switch it on. No power, no light. And the Holy Spirit is God's fuel cell to help us shine. It's why we talk about the power of the Spirit. And if we are spiritually empty or not plugged into God, then we will have no spiritual power and there will be no light from us. But if the Spirit of God burns in us, then the light will shine from us and will be displayed. And do you remember that was Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 5? You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So we're saying yes to remembering who we are in Christ. We're saying yes to being filled by the Spirit of God and overflowing. And yes to letting that overflow shine through us to those around us. But while there's a yes in this passage, there's also a no. And the no we find in verse 11. I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. That's the no. No to sinful desires that war against our soul. And notice that Peter uses the word war. It's a battle. And it's a battle that every one of us faces. It's a battle against temptation. And it's a battle that we will struggle to win if we're not filled by the Spirit of God. It sounds rather dramatic calling something a war, but we have an enemy who wants to undermine the purposes of God in our lives. And although he's a defeated enemy, unless we live in the victory that Christ has given us, we will find that in our own lives, that victory turns to defeat. It's a subtle battle. Sometimes we're just chipped away at and we don't even realize that we're in a war. Sometimes we don't realize we're being undermined. We don't realize we're being tempted. It's not often obvious to us. See, take our example of life together in the church. If we're tempted to think that our life in the church is about what I can get from it, how good I feel about it, then we won't understand God's call to service and to encounter other people. We become a consumer, not a servant. And so we no longer give our best to God in terms of our time and our talents and our money. We give him what we can spare, not the first of what we have. And if God doesn't become first in our lives, then he becomes an afterthought. And he's certainly somebody we won't want to talk about or boast about. And because we've got our priorities wrong, then what we try to do for God becomes increasingly a burden, not a joy. We start to criticize things rather than rejoicing. Resentment builds up. Our hearts go cold. And one morning we wake up and without even realizing that we've been in a battle, checkmate, we've been defeated. It can be that easy. If we don't know we're at war, we're going to lose that war. The New Testament writers help us to recognize it. Paul in Ephesians 6 talks about this in detail. Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That sounds like a fight to me. It sounds like there's a war going on. So we have to say no to temptation. We have to fight with all the power of God that's in us so that we can shine for God where he has put us. But the good news is that in Christ we are victorious. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world, John says. So back to my old wardrobe. I had every opportunity to be properly attired, but I'd done nothing about it. The longer it went on, the worse it had got. God has given us new clothes. He's dressed us in the righteousness of Christ so that we can shine like stars in the universe. If we don't recognize, if we don't claim, if we don't exercise that new status in Christ, that we're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, if we're not daily filled with his Spirit, then rather than shining out, we'll blend in. And rather than fulfilling this great priority, this great calling that God has given to us to declare his praises, we'll end up becoming ensnared and defeated by our own desires and our own frustrations. God has done everything to make us more than a conqueror through Calvary. Through Calvary, he's broken that grip on sin. In Christ, he's given us new life. And through the Spirit, he's given us the power to shine. Not only today as we're together praising him, but in this week, where he puts us. That's where he wants us to shine. Paul had confidence. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So let's not be defeated. Let's turn our back on that which would defeat us, fix our eyes on Jesus, and shine for him. And in that way, we will declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for all that you have done in Jesus for us. Thank you that everything we need for life and health and spiritual growth you've given to us. Lord, we pray that you would help us not to be defeated because we are not full of the Spirit of God. Lord, this morning, fill our hearts, set us on fire so that where you put us, we will shine, that our lives may declare your praises and your glory. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.